Welcome back to AI Unraveled, your daily strategic briefing on the business impact of artificial intelligence. It is December 16th, 2025. Today, we examine the death of the language barrier. Google has officially successfully uncoupled real-time translation from its own hardware, allowing any pair of headphones to function as a universal translator. Meanwhile, Zoom has pulled off a massive upset, with its federated AI system outscoring Google's Gemini on expert reasoning benchmarks. And in a stark reminder of the new economic reality, iRobot, the pioneer of consumer robotics, files for bankruptcy just as the U.S. government launches a massive tech force to recruit the AI talent that the private sector is fighting over. But before we dive into today's strategic briefing, stop marketing to the masses, start briefing the C-suite. You have seen the power of AI unraveled, zero-noise, high-signal intelligence for the world's most critical AI builders. Now, leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored, proprietary podcasts designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Stop wasting marketing spend on generic content. Start delivering must-listen, strategic intelligence directly to the decision-makers. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Now let's unravel the news.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're doing a full spectrum reality check. We've gone through a whole stack of sources, research papers, industry reports, and the big takeaway is that AI isn't just accelerating. It's accelerating on every single front at the same time. We're talking infrastructure wars, huge policy battles, and, you know, things that felt like sci-fi just a year ago becoming standard issue. And just to ground you in this new reality, let's start with maybe the most personal, most futuristic breakthrough happening right now, the universal translator. It's not some novelty anymore.
It's really not. The sources all point to this massive transition happening as we speak. AI is moving way beyond just being a simple chat feature. It's becoming fundamental infrastructure. I mean, it's redefining what professional competence even looks like, and at the same time, creating all these friction points in creative fields and even in government. You're literally watching the structure of work change in real time.
So let's unpack that universal translator. For a long time, if you wanted real-time translation from Google, you had to buy their specific Pixel Buds. That's gone now.
Right. That barrier is completely gone. The game changer is this Gemini 2.5 Flash native audio upgrade. What it does is stream live speech translation to any connected headphones on an Android device. It just democratizes the tech overnight.
And that accessibility is huge, for sure.
Yeah.
But what's really, you know, blowing my mind are the technical specs here. Mm-hmm. It supports over 70 languages, sure, but it's the quality.
Yeah.
It actually preserves the speaker's original tone, mm-hmm. their pacing, their cadence.
And it has this world knowledge capability baked in, so it gets slang and cultural context in a way the old systems just couldn't.
Exactly.
And what's so fascinating about this is it's the fulfillment of a promise from sci-fi that's decades old.
Yeah.
Like, think Star Trek, right? That language barrier is just, it's disappearing. And you have to remember, this is built on Gemini 2.5 Flash, which is optimized for speed, so it's not going to stay on your phone.
Yeah.
It's absolutely poised to spread to things like YouTube, social media, creating a truly global dialogue.
So if AI is dissolving communication barriers like that, how are people actually using this new power for, you know, serious work? Because we always hear about drafting emails or writing funny poems, but we saw a study from Perplexity in Harvard that looked at millions of queries, and it tells a very different story.
A very different story. They analyzed hundreds of millions of queries and, well, the conclusion was pretty clear. Users are leaning into serious, high-stakes knowledge work. Over half of all the queries were for research or workflow management. We're talking summarizing long, dense documents, coursework help, heavy editing.
And the user profile sort of backs that up, right? This isn't just casual use. Adoption tracks pretty closely with GDP and education levels.
It does. The bulk of the users are tech workers, academics, marketers, finance pros, basically people whose entire job revolves around managing complex information.
And this was the part that really made me sit up and pay attention. The data show that users who started with, say, lighter stuff like planning a trip, they almost always moved on to heavier knowledge work over time.
Exactly. As they built trust in the system's accuracy, they started handing it more and more high-stakes tasks. It proves these are not just novelty toys.
Speaking of high stakes, we have to talk about the CFA exams, the Chartered Financial Analyst exams. They are notoriously brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the absolute gold standard in finance. And just 2 years ago, in 2023, the top AI models like GPT 3.5, they failed. They failed level I and 2 completely.
And the speed of this leap is just, it's astonishing. In the last 24 months, what we've seen is a true exponential jump. There's a new study showing that 6 of the leading AI models can now pass all 3 levels of the CFA exams.
All 3, that's just incredible.
And it gets even better. Gemini 3.0 Pro scored a record 97.6% on level 1.
Wow.
And then GBZ5 topped level 2 with a 94.3%. So you go from complete failure to near perfect scores in 24 months. That just radically redefines the bar for white collar competence. If an AI can ace the CFA, what does that mean for the human analyst who spent a decade building up that knowledge?
That is the critical question. And if AI is that competent, how are companies that aren't Google or OpenAI using this?
Which brings us to the infrastructure battle. And Zoom's very interesting strategy.
Yeah, Zoom. They're not exactly known for building these huge frontier models, but they made a really surprising claim. They said their federated AI system scored 48.1% on humanity's last exam, which is one of the industry's toughest reasoning tests.
And that score matters because, for a moment, it actually beat Google's Gemini 3 Pro. Now, since then, others like GPT 5.2 have surpassed it. But the method, how Zoom did it, that's the real story here.
Exactly right. Their federated approach is what every enterprise CTO should be looking at. Think of it less like building one giant engine and more like orchestrating a team of elite specialists. They use a Z-score system to pick and choose from the best models out there, OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, and mix them with their own smaller models.
Okay, so if I'm listening to this, why is this federated approach the why it matters moment?
Because it's a template. It's a template for companies that need top-tier AI capabilities without spending billions to build their own models from scratch. Why try to compete with Google when you can just orchestrate the best parts of what everyone's offering to get a result that's better for your specific needs?
So while some are orchestrating, others are still building. Which brings us to NVIDIA. They're jumping into the model wars now, not just the chip wars, with something called Nemotron 3. It's a new family of open source models for coding and writing.
And this is a huge strategic push for them. They've got a whole lineup. There's a nano version at 30 billion parameters, which is out now and cheaper to run. Then there's a super at 100 billion and an ultra coming in 2026. That's a massive 500 billion parameters.
But the twist is that they're making it open source. They're publishing the training data, the tools. Why give away the recipe? What's the play?
It's a genius moat strategy. By offering powerful open source models, they do 2 things. First, they give Western developers a really competitive open source option, which is important. But second, and this is the crucial part, they make sure that anyone using these powerful models is, by design, building on and using NVIDIA's hardware. The better the open models get, the more NVIDIA GPUs you need to run them.
And all of these models, whether they're federated or homegrown, need just enormous amounts of power. Which is why NVIDIA is now partnering with HPE to push this idea of AI factories.
This is a really critical shift in thinking. So traditional data centers, you have to understand, were built for training models, big one-off computing jobs. But the future is all about inference.
Okay, so let's define that. What's an inference workload?
Inference is the doing part. It's the model actually running. It's when you ask it a question or when the universal translator is translating your speech in real time. And if you have AI acing the CFA and thousands of agents running tasks, you're talking about billions of these inference queries running constantly. They're incredibly power hungry. They generate a ton of heat.
So the argument is you can't use the old data centers. You need to build these new AI factories just to handle the load.
Precisely. And they're already doing it. NVIDIA and HPE just opened their first AI factory lab in Grenoble, France, mainly for European customers who want local control over their data. But it's a huge engineering challenge. These factories need incredible amounts of energy and water. You need specialized things like liquid cooling. It's a whole new kind of infrastructure.
And all this acceleration is of causing a lot of societal friction. The clearest example we found is in the creative space, specifically the podcast industry. Our sources describe it as being, well, invaded by chatty bots.
It really is a perfect storm. We're seeing bots generate hundreds of thousands of AI-powered podcasts, and they're just crowding out the human creators. The content is often super niche, but the speed of production is just... it's something a human can't compete with.
And the economics are just staggering.
Yeah.
There's one studio, Inception Point AI. They've produced 200,000 episodes. That's 1% of all podcasts on the internet. And they do it by focusing on tiny niches like local gardening tips.
Because it only cost them $1 to produce an episode.
Yeah.
$1. Which means the show is profitable with just 25 listeners. That completely changes the entire game of content creation. You don't need a hit. You just need volume.
But there's a friction point there, isn't there? I mean, beyond just crowding the market, it's about trust.
It is. The tech enables some amazing things, like cloning a host's voice so they can release new content, or an AI fill-in for a host who has laryngitis. That's useful. But for many listeners, replacing a human host feels like a breach of trust. That connection you have with the voice in your ear is personal, and suddenly, that's at risk.
And moving from creators to the general workforce, the job displacement numbers are pretty stark.
Yeah.
Tech companies have cut nearly 50,000 U.S. jobs since the start of 2025, and they're specifically citing AI as a driver.
That displacement is very real. But you have to see the other side, too. There's a hiring surge in fields like defense and robotics, and those jobs are paying more. The key skill that's emerging isn't expertise in one thing. It's the ability to manage what you might call AI employees.
What does that mean, managing an AI employee?
It means being the conductor, making sure different specialized AI agents can work together on a complex task. Like building a custom bot that not only creates content, but also adapts it based on audience feedback. You're managing digital resources, not just producing things yourself.
And the government seems to be trying to catch up. They've just launched this U.S. tech force to hire 1,000 AI experts for federal jobs. They clearly see the need for that competence.
Absolutely. But ultimately, the sources all agree. The only real defense is lifelong learning. It's the only reliable way to stay competitive. We saw one example of a financial services firm that successfully retrained displaced analysts into new roles like UX design, where they manage the new AI tools. Adaptation is the key.
And all this change in the workplace has, of course, triggered a massive policy fight in Washington. President Trump signed an executive order to try and limit how states can regulate AI. He even threatened to restrict federal funding for states with laws the White House deems too onerous.
The argument from lobbyists, people like David Sacks, is that you can't have a patchwork of 50 different state AI laws. They say it would cripple the U.S. and the global race. They want to keep oversight at the federal level to avoid that kind of fragmentation.
But the pushback is fierce. Critics like Senator Markey are arguing the executive order prioritizes profit over safety, that it fails to address real security concerns, especially for children who are interacting with these systems. It's that classic trade-off, speed versus safety.
And we're already seeing that lobbying have an effect. New York's governor is apparently planning to replace their strict AI law with a more lenient one based on California's. So that pressure to avoid a fragmented landscape seems to be working.
Okay, before we get to our final thought, we have to touch on two really quick, unexpected stories that show how broad AI's reach is. First, something completely outside of software. Biology.
This is a huge leap. MIT engineers developed a deep learning model, a very complex one, to predict how a fruit fly embryo develops cell by cell.
And they can predict it minute by minute, how all 5,000 cells will move and fold with 90% accuracy. The potential application is, well, identifying the cell patterns that might signal the very earliest stages of diseases like cancer or asthma.
Yeah.
It's AI predicting life itself.
And then, shifting to global business, you have the ongoing chip battle. China is now reportedly rejecting exports of NVIDIA's H200 chips. Beijing is all in on semiconductor independence, and they're planning a $70 billion package to boost local companies like Huawei.
Which could cost NVIDIA something like $10 billion a year in revenue from China. A huge hit.
And one last quick hit. iRobot, the Roomba company, has filed for bankruptcy. This came after EU regulators blocked their big $1.7 billion sale to Amazon. They're now being acquired by a company from Shenzhen. Just another interesting shift in the global tech landscape.
So we've covered a huge amount of ground here in this deep dive, from the way we talk to each other, to the future of your job, to global chip wars, to predicting biology. But the one single thread that ties all of this together is just the breakneck speed of it all, the speed of implementation.
Exactly. And all this new capability, whether it's an AI acing the CFA or a bot creating 200,000 podcasts, it all creates an unprecedented amount of data. And that puts immense pressure, not just on computing power, but on the most boring thing imaginable, storage. Data storage. And that brings us to our final provocative thought for you to chew on. A company called S-Photonics is claiming they've developed a new 5D glass storage that can hold 360 terabytes of data for an estimated 13.8 billion years. So what does it mean for our civilization when the knowledge we create today, which can now be synthesized and reasoned upon by these AIs, can physically outlast the civilization that created it? That's a shift from just digital data to something with near geological permanence, and that changes everything.
That wraps up today's briefing. The signal for today is translation. We aren't just talking about translating French to English in your earbuds. We are seeing the translation of federated models into superior reasoning at Zoom, the translation of deep research into a programmable API at Google, and the translation of geopolitical strategy into hardship bans in China. The technology is no longer just generating content. It is translating intent into action across every layer of the stack. Before we go, a reminder for the leaders listening. Stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. You have seen the power of AI unraveled. Zero noise, high signal intelligence for the world's most critical AI builders. Now, leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored proprietary podcasts designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Stop wasting marketing. Spend on generic content. Start delivering must-listen strategic intelligence directly to the decision makers. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Please subscribe and share. Until tomorrow, keep unraveling the future.